This podcast is supported by The Real Real.
You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail?
Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
He's a couple red flags walking, you know?
Yeah, he is at least three red flags in a trench coat. The 11th meeting of the Degrassi Film Club is officially in session. I'm Caroline.
I'm Avis.
And today we are talking about the 2022 rom-com sex-com Three Ways, starring Degrassi's own Andrea Lewis. And as per usual, we are going to start with one of our lovely IMDb reviews. Quite scholarly stuff here. Carpasso, who rates it 10 out of 10, says, joyous, insightful journey of laughs. Superb writing that takes a taboo concept and humanizes it from various vantage points. Insightful acting from extremely talented Jarell O'Neill allowed vulnerability to be felt as well as exhilarating excitement. Furthermore, the subtle and direct comedy leaves one chuckling the entire movie and feeling empathy, sympathy, and connection with this trifecta of talent. A new age comedy that will leave you hopeful and inspired. Brittany Hall and Andrea Lewis represent the female perspectives wonderfully, too. The chemistry of the three leads can be felt from afar. The art of filmmaking continues to thrive. How do you, what do you think about that review? Well,
that was quite, that was very eloquent. I think that it takes this film very seriously. And not that I don't take it seriously, but I think it just puts it in a, perhaps a different level than I would put it. But I really enjoyed it.
I feel like I'm going to have to watch this movie a second time to really give it, like, I'll rate it for tonight's episode, but like to really rate it.
Yeah, no.
I'm going to have to watch it a second time just because it was such a like breath of fresh air after so many poorly written movies that like it might be mid, but I loved it.
Yeah, I was actually like, I mean, it's similar to what the review said. Like, I did have moments where I was chuckling and like, oh shit, oh, you know, like really into it. And I also feel like it probably, like it could, obviously it could have been better. It had its moments where it's like, okay, you could have done more, but I think I genuinely had like, this is a movie that I would seek out in the wild and watch just based on its description.
It was fun.
And not because it was tied to a Degrassi character.
It was one or that actor. Like, I don't think that like Forrest would enjoy watching it, but he wouldn't hate watching it with me the way he would have like, Christmas at Maple Creek or Sander Brown's Lukewarm or.
Well, you know, S has already kind of caught on to the like the kind of the quality of the films that we've been watching for this series. So she's like, it's not one of those like Degrassi Film Club type movies, is it? Like she already knows. So when she caught snippets of I think she caught the scene when Justin is in the car with I need to find these people's names or I know Stacy, but like I need to know the other two people that she, Lorraine
and okay. Lorraine's partner Tony, and then there's Ebony Tony. And Dante. There's like five characters in this whole movie. It's kind of great.
It is kind of great. Like it's easy to keep track of everybody, but it's like the mm-hmm. names, I need to have them in front of me. So when Justin and Tony are in the car after Justin took a step out because his dick wasn't mm-hmm. he couldn't feel it and he was saying he said I'm hot, I need to go outside, I feel like she caught that scene and was just like, okay, this is intriguing, like what's going on, you know?
Yeah.
She's like, so he doesn't want a threesome, why doesn't he want a threesome, and he's, you know, like, is he being forced into this threesome? Like, she wanted to know more. And I mean, it could be it is partially because of the topic of a threesome is such a taboo thing, like of course said in the
it's
review.
Tantalizing,
but it's also like the way that it's executed, I think the characters are very necessary to what's going on. Mm-hmm. Even like the minor X that pops up of Justin's was like, I thought, a good addition to yeah. the story. Like, I think it was a very well told story in terms of like
it,
all the characters popped in some way.
It was the timeline. The timeline could have been clearer. The
timeline is shaky. Yeah. Cause I want to know
it, like,
what
it doesn't feel like you've been together that long and you're already
it
like,
does. Yes.
Talking about moving in. And granted, I can't judge. Forrest moved into my apartment like literally 2 weeks after we met.
Love
his
it.
Car
you,
broke
you were
down.
Sure.
Oh. He lived like an hour away when we met, and then his car broke down, and so he just kind of was like,
he kind of just stayed.
Yeah, it took a couple weeks to like find a job in Montpelier, so he's going back and forth. It was probably more like a month, but it was very fast. It was very, very fast.
Caroline,
but we're married,
like,
so. It just happened. Horseshoe. When you know, you know.
When you know, you know. No, seriously. I mean, I was back with S for less than, I mean, we had been back and forth, and for us to even take the leap of me being like, I'm going to move to Trenton. I'm just going to move and we're gonna, just going to be together, took less than 6 months. for me, which for me is fast, because I didn't want to leave my mother. And then I mm-hmm. left my mother, and all bets were off. I have ADHD. It's out of sight, out of mind. Okay. I can literally forget people exist if I don't see them all the time. But no, the timeline is certainly kind of shaky. I really want to know how long they've been together. I want to know, because it seems like there's a lot of overlap.
Yeah.
Like, and I, that, that one of the aspects I did not like was the dishonesty.
Mm-hmm. I feel like we should like take the movie a little bit piece by piece, though.
Yeah, let's, because it's told in a very interesting way.
Before we dive in, though, I want to just take a moment to acknowledge, you know, first the superficial of how fucking lovely visually Andrea Lewis
oh,
is. Like, she is absolutely
yes.
beautiful. Her body is beautiful. Not to cheapen it, but we saw them titties, and they were
them titties
beautiful.
Are phenomenal. Yes. And I mean, like, the production design, Rebecca T. Hayes, because I'm on IMDb, the mm-hmm. production design was lovely. Like, the colors, the saturation. I really felt like it was a lived-in space. Like, it was just, especially the bathroom. The bathroom yeah. was a really important, because like we I started to touch on, it's told in a very interesting way, which I think kind of like enhances the story, because if it was told in maybe a straightforward way, it wouldn't have been as impactful. But so
yeah.
it's told from the point of view of Stacy, which is our Andrea Lewis. But we also get the point of view of Justin, her boyfriend, and Lorraine, the person they're bringing in to have the threesome with.
Right.
Which I think, and then you know,
and it's
more
all we get kind of all
on.
The same chunk of time,
right?
From each
from
of
the
them, roughly
from the different, right. Which I love. It was giving me Memento vibes, sort of,
mm-hmm.
just a little bit. I liked it because it didn't
also,
replay the whole scene. It just like stamped it a little bit.
We'll get there, but there's a point where it is giving you.
It is certainly giving you, and I actually and. I don't mind a predictable movie. I think that, like, Pretty Little Liars, Marlene King, I'm looking at you. I think that when you try to, like, make the audience not, like, bait and switch, like, hey, you thought it was going one way, but it's going the other way. Like, that's not fair. Like, if I'm smart enough to figure it out, let me figure it out.
Right.
So
but
I could tell, like, it was kind of going toward that you vibe. I was like, mm-mm, something's going on.
I see, and I missed it. I was like,
really?
I was shipping Stacy and Lorraine until the second we started Lorraine's part. Yeah, exactly. Like, I was like, this is what's going to happen, and I'm here for it.
So pissed off, Caroline. When I tell you that whole, like, you think he's your man, he's my man. I was like, oh, this is about Justin.
But it wasn't. It wasn't. Boo. Okay. So we start out in Stacy's perspective, and like, mm-hmm. we learn she's going to have a three-way with her boyfriend. She's really nervous about it. She's very like awkward, mm-hmm. shy, kind of boring girl. She's a graphic designer.
Reserved. Yeah.
Very reserved. We catch her like breaking up with her last boyfriend, who seemed to have been like an on again, off again thing since like college.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells her that she's boring.
He wants ball action.
And she says balls are gross, which like balls, that's real.
Balls are sweaty. Balls most are of the gross, time.
But like
gross.
They're there, and they're like, it's kind of like their equivalent of a clit, from what I can tell. Like, and they like a little stimulation there. Like, it's not the same thing, but it is of like that, like there's,
I mean, as someone who loves, you know, the idea of heterosexual sex, the practice of it can be quite awkward, but I've never found balls in and of themselves like repulsive. They're a little weird. They're
repulsive, but I'm not like,
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail? Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
Balls.
I don't want to put them in my mouth, but like, I'll touch them. And like, they always felt like a Fabergé, like egg type situation. Like, they were too fragile, and I just didn't really want to deal. I just didn't want to deal, because I'm like, one bad twist and I feel like this is going to go wrong. So I kind of avoided, but not in my mouth.
Right. You gotta like squeeze them like they're a stress ball, and you are very mildly annoyed.
Wait, really? You can squeeze them?
Well, not like hard.
I'm right. Like, I don't know how to squeeze something that hard.
That's what I'm saying. Like, okay, so like, imagine a stress. You need a stress ball, right? But it's because of something like really, really minor annoyance. Mm-hmm. Very minor annoyance. So you're not like you're just kind of like gripping it a little.
My grip is a grip. Claws on them balls.
Nah, just a little pressure. Just a little pressure. Mm-hmm. But anyway, she doesn't like balls. She's not very flexible. She's boring in bed. And Dante's had enough.
You're not very flexible, so I can't get all up in there. And some of the dialogue is pretty funny and memorable. It's memorable.
Yeah, no, it was a really thoroughly enjoyable movie.
But also shout out to her best friend.
Yeah, her best friend Ebony is like, I don't know how she got a best friend this cool, because she is boring as fuck. But Ebony is super fucking cool, and Ebony fucking loves Stacy.
She does. She's played by Takara from ANTM, which it took me like halfway through the movie to be like,
was
damn
she
it,
the
that's quote Takara.
Unquote fat one?
Yes, she was the quote-unquote
I loved
fat
her.
One.
That was like the only season of America's Next Top Model that I watched.
Objectively, one of the like better seasons.
She's so
yeah.
beautiful.
She is very beautiful, and she hasn't aged at all. She looks exactly the same, but it just took me with like, you know, HD, the new, she didn't look like that in 2000, whatever. But she is awesome. So she's like, you know, are you really going to do this? And she's on the phone with her when she's pulling up, or when she's laying in bed, basically surrounded by, it looks like, a million outfits. Mm-hmm. Like, she can't decide what to wear to this threesome. And she's like, are you on your way? And she's like, yeah, I'm about to pull up right now. And she's like, are you serious? She's like, bitch, no. Like, I don't want to do it. Like, I'm nervous about this. And basically, she says, it's either you go or your man's having a rendezvous without you.
Because right. It's either a threesome or, yeah.
Yeah. Or an encounter with yeah, which I mean, I feel like before we even go into the act, like threesome rules, and I didn't know that we all didn't know this as a society, but most threesomes for the first, like it should be the third person should be a stranger.
It shouldn't be somebody that one of you has an established history.
It should
with.
Not be something. Yes, there should be no prior hanky panky. In my opinion, right. I think that's the general opinion.
I mean, in like I could see okay,
unless
so
everybody
like, if
knows
it was like,
about it, knows about it.
Well, that or if it was like everybody knows about it, but it's like okay, so Bob and Cindy are a couple, but mm-hmm. both of them, you know, Bob fucked Jill in high school and Cindy fucked Jill in college, mm-hmm. and they run into Jill at a
right,
bar. You know,
that's a shared interest, and that would not
that
be...
I could see being okay, but just one yes. part, one half of the threesome that's not the couple. Yeah, no, it's
and then you like unknowingly like the threesomes are just supposed to be way more like it's supposed to be about trust. You're mm-hmm. you're supposed to feel secure in the situation. And I feel like that's not what's happening here.
I did like that, like, you know, they're having dinner first. They're getting some drinks and they're smoking yes. a little weed. You know, they're taking it very slow. They're making jokes about how awkward it is. Like,
they're dancing.
They're dancing. They're having a good time.
They're having a good time. They take shrooms.
That like, I loved because I got the impression the that altering. It was Stacey's first time taking shrooms.
Yeah, I think so too. I didn't love that either. I feel like there was a little bit of manipulation going on, especially when you get the whole story.
Right.
It feels like at first, like, okay, you know, she has an agenda, Lorraine. Because mm-hmm. as soon as, like, what happens is, you know, Stacey gets out of her car, she knocks on the door. The door is not answered right away. She has to knock again. And then we hear, I'm coming, you know. And then he comes, answers the door, and says, oh, I thought you were going to flake out on me. And Lorraine is not in the room. She's like, oh,
she's
is she here yet?
She's freshening up. Yeah.
She's freshening up, which is sus. It's sus. And it's also sus that she's there before her.
Yeah, I said that was a weird move. Like, it's weird for the third to show up before the primary. Like,
mm-hmm. that atmosphere, it's already like, competitive. Like, I just think that those situations, not competitive, but just not fair to her.
Threesomes can be great when mm-hmm. they're like done responsibly, when everybody is enthusiastic, when there's not like when boundaries are recognized and respected. This right. is a very haphazard three-way.
It is. You can tell there's nothing really, they haven't discussed anything prior to.
Yeah,
there's no even mention of like protection or anything.
Right.
As far as like Stacey doesn't know anything about Lorraine's like background, she knows that she has a husband, a fiance. So there's another person in that equation that potentially could spread sexually transmitted diseases. And then she right. also finds out that she has been in a relationship with another man at the same time as her fiance, so that's another person and whoever they, you know, like
right.
it's,
that she and her partner are like in an open relationship. He lets her do what she wants,
right? And it's like, oh no, I don't want to see your STD panel. I don't want to know that you're clean. Right. I just want to have unprotected sex with you. And like, I mean, basically behind, like, they're sharing a penis. All fluids are being exchanged.
Right.
Whatever
right.
whatever Lorraine has, Stacey's gonna have. and vice versa. So
yeah,
no, I don't
know. It was very irresponsible in that regard. Yes. And then also, yeah. But I mean, I'm not faulting the movie for it. I think that was kind
you
of like
to
the
suspend
point.
Suspend your belief. Yeah. It's like a suspend your belief type
well,
of vibe.
Less
sort of.
with the protection. I mean, that, yeah, I feel like you just have to kind of suspend your disbelief. But like.
Yes. But with the how they put
with
it
the,
together.
With the haphazardness of the three-way. Mm-hmm. I don't fault the movie for that because I think that's part of the point.
Mm-hmm. I think so too.
Is that everybody's entering into this with different, very different motives and very different
yes.
expectations and very mm-hmm. different levels of comfortability. Like yeah. we come to find out that really the only person comfortable with it from the jump is Lorraine.
Correct. Even like Justin that through that in that conversation that I was talking about that S saw with Justin and Tony in the car, Justin's like, I feel like I was supposed to say yes, that I'm supposed to want a threesome. Right. And I mean, there was a little bit of subliminal, like him basically hinting at wanting.
No, I thought he had fully manipulated that situation.
I think he did. Yeah.
Until he said, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
I think it's like I think it's a little bit of both. I think he manipulated the situation because at the end of the day, he does want her to be more adventurous in his eye. Like, you know, doing right. more of the things he wants her to do. But also he feels like he might not want it the way he's supposed to want it.
Yeah. Well, and I was actually surprised to learn that it was his first threesome. Because when he goes to the store and sees his ex,
mm-hmm.
she's like, Moscato and tequila. I remember those nights.
Yeah.
But it is, in fact, his first threesome. We jump from once we finish Stacey's perspective, kind of leading up to things. You know, she's into it. She's not. She's freaked out. She feels threatened by Lorraine, so she's just fucking like going for it.
Mm-hmm.
She's tripping on mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
And fuck, I lost it.
Oh, they,
no, but so we jump from that to like Lorraine breaks a bottle of wine.
Yes.
And so Justin has to go out and get more. And this mm-hmm. is when we kind of jump into Justin's perspective. We get a little more of like Lorraine and Stacey hanging out.
Yeah, because I think what breaks into Justin's perspective is seeing them making out.
Oh, you're right.
On the
but
couch.
We do. Okay, so we see him.
We follow him to the store first, though.
He should not have been driving.
He should not have been driving because we see that their shrooms kick in. We see mm-hmm. that their shrooms kick in first at home. I forget exactly how we see that her shrooms kick in, but it's like, you know, she's like, I feel it. And she's like, I'm very high. And then they flashed him and he's like shaking the bottle of Patron. And it's like all jiggly, like a bowl
yeah,
of
he's
jelly.
He's like watching
jello.
It like it's like a lava lamp.
and then
very blonde, very thin white girl comes up.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail? Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like we said, the whole Moscato and Patron, I remember those nights. Yeah. She's hating, but then her, it's like clear they just had a very recent breakup and he did her sort of dirty.
They had a dog together that he hasn't come to see.
He has not come to see the dog, but the dog is learning to move on because bitches ain't shit. But hoes and tricks. So,
lick on these nuts and suck the dick.
Yes.
And when it all boils down, you're gonna find in the end a bitch is a bitch, but a dog is a man's best friend. So what you found, you a hoe that you like, but you can't make a hoe a housewife.
I'm so done. Like the casual.
Is that the whitest course I've ever looked? Because I feel like that was very white.
You said you hit the peak whiteness. I don't know.
It's not quite saying gracias in the Mexican restaurant.
Yeah, you did not go full. Well, you know, Caucasian. But yeah, it's not a pleasant interaction.
No, and she then hates him. She's like, she fuck does you, dude.
She's like, I would gladly throw down in this gas station. However, I've got to go. And her friend calls her and, you know.
He's like, hey, Ashley. And she's like, fuck you, dude.
Which best friend energy. That's all. That was the appropriate response. That was the only response that she could give. Because it seems like the breakup was terrible.
Right.
But somehow he gets the fuck back home. We see him being a little bit high after that, but then he gets he operates heavy machinery and gets back to the apartment. I feel like we see how they start kissing, but they, no, she, is that the massage?
Is yeah, that she's, how they, yeah, yes, yeah, yes. She's giving Stacy a massage and then it's like turnover and it's and like she massaging her boobs.
Her titties. Okay, but I was like, I'm fully shipping it at this point. I'm fully into it.
Right. I was so down there for it. I'm like, I'd watch that porn.
Even like the part before she breaks the wine bottle where they're like, where he's kissing her neck and then Lorraine comes over and starts joining her kissing Stacy's neck. And she's like, they're trying to turn me out. Oh, no. And she's like, can you get more wine? And then I think that's when she breaks the bottle. She's like, I'll get it. And then breaks it. I think Stacy that was strategic, though. I think that was strategic looking back.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. And that's the thing, because he goes into the kitchen to check and she's all like feeling up on him and like,
yeah,
that's, yeah, no, it's not. Yeah,
we get little hints that everything is not copacetic very early on. They do a good job with peppering them in, but we don't get the full story until a little bit later on. But yeah, he comes back in and, you know, the titty massage has turned into they full on making out. And he's like, you started without me. And then it kind of.
Yeah, and then he's freaking out. They don't need him. He can't get his dick hard. We flip to him. His perspective. The one thing that did confuse me was, okay, so we see that, like, scene. It's his stuff starts with him and his ex-girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I'm not happy in this relationship. I don't want to be a guy dating a white woman. And he mentions Stacy.
Yes.
Then. Right?
He does.
And then we cut to a scene where he's tutoring one of his students and Stacy walks by. Mm-hmm. And that's him. He goes into the bookstore, which is how they met. He flirted with her at the bookstore.
Correct.
And we find out that that was like a calculated move.
Yeah, that whole, because he had, from Stacy's point of view, we see this mute cute, oh, he's just in the bookstore with a book for it, buying a book for his dad, recommends the right book. He's an educated black man. She likes that. But it's really just, he picks up the first book that he sees when he walks in there, reads the title and is like, fuck it, let me just go with it.
But he says to it, like his internal monologue when he sees her walk by is, I swore if I ever saw her again.
Yes, I would, right.
So where was that point?
Where did he see her the first time?
Like, and it's possible I missed it.
I think it might have been buried in there, but I also think that it is possible that the timeline is just so weird.
Right, because I was like, wait, was he still with this white girl?
Correct.
And when he went and hit on Stacy?
And if so, fuck him. I mean, it's already, I don't like his character. I think he just goes and does a lot of things that are just threesome no-nos, but also relationship no-nos. Mm-hmm. He's a couple red flags walking, you know. I don't appreciate what he does not tell her.
Yeah, he is at least three red flags in a trench coat.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it sucks because I think they did a really good job of making us think that it was kind of queer baiting, of making us think that Lorraine and Stacey were going to get together, especially since she said stuff like, oh, no wonder I don't like dick. I like girls. And
right. No. And I think that Stacey probably goes on to become a lesbian.
And I'm sure she probably does. And I wish there was more of that journey, because I like where the movie ends, but I think that they could have done just a tad more.
No, I think that there's still so much like work and growth that needs to be done on Stacey's part, that like ending it where they did was satisfying. They would have had to do so much more storytelling to end satisfying. Or
not even like another scene. I guess maybe just like another. Well, it is growth. I appreciate her being like, no, I'm not. Well, we're jumping ahead. But okay, so it's in Justin's perspective. And he is just basically trying, like, we see that all of this has been kind of his attempt to like reclaim his life. Like, he gets with Stacey and he feels like, okay, now I'm on the right track, but he's bored. He's like, damn, that girl could really suck some. He's like, damn, that white girl could really suck some dick. White girls are freaks. I miss her.
Mm-hmm.
And that is literally, I feel like that's literally his only problem with Stacey. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, that she doesn't suck dick. No, I think
he's very into Stacey, but she's boring in bed. Her ex was correct about that. She can't suck dick.
And she doesn't care to, which relatable. Which
is fine.
Relatable. I don't like, I've never liked sucking dick.
I did. I don't really anymore. Like, I'll do it. I'm not opposed to it. I'm not like going to gag before it's even in my mouth like Stacey, but like, it's not my jam.
It's not my favorite.
I used
whatever.
To like really it's enjoy it. It's not my favorite,
but I'll do it for you.
What's your favorite dish? I'm not gonna cook it, but I'll order it from Zanzibar. Oh God, we can't, like, we gotta find that golden hour. We were so much better at this when we could record like midday. Like post nap recordings. That's our golden hour,
right? No, I feel like what Justin's little part does is just establish that he is really just indecisive.
He's indecisive. He's looking for something that he hasn't found yet.
Mm-hmm. And Stacey's closer to that, but right, it is a freak. Is that's what he's looking for? And it's like, I mean, from his point of view, he does completely innocently run into Lorraine running one day. He just runs in, like, he literally physically runs into her, and then they fuck that same day. Like, they just go back to her house and fuck. Which, okay, just cheat. And I don't know that they've been established that they're monogamous just based on the conversation they have at dinner. Just like, oh, is he the only one you're seeing right now, and type of vibes. Like, it just feels like maybe they haven't been seeing each other long enough to have the
right
define like the monogamy. Like, how long
right, which is weird, because they're like talking about moving in, and right. I guess they do say like when our leases are up, and right. we don't know how long that is. That could be months in the future. That could be up to 11 months in the future.
Totally.
But
it feels like they're serious enough
that, like, they should have had that conversation.
Correct. Which is a little bit like, is that writing? Or it's probably writing.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's very intentional. I think, you know, we don't see a lot of Dante, but we see that, like, he's unreliable. Like, when we meet him, the only time I think that we see him like in person interacting with Stacy, we find out he's still living with his baby mama.
Mm-hmm.
And then he tells Stacy she's boring and they like break up. And he walks out and she locks the door and then he comes back and he knocks on the door and comes in as like, sorry, I forgot my keys and my weed. And grabs his shit and leaves. He sucks. And she has been with him since at least college.
Mm-hmm. And, she's like, all she knows. Like,
these people are in their 30s.
Yes.
So she's been with him. Like, if she met him senior year, she was like 21, 22.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's
at least
32.
She's at least 32.
She's had this shitty boyfriend for so fucking long.
Yeah.
That, like, here's this guy who's educated and he bakes salmon with rosemary. And
they literally, in his point of view, they show him looking up a recipe and like frantically baking the making the salmon before the girls get there. Like, he does not, he's putting on a front, like a set. Yeah. And I think it's and I mean, it might still be early enough in the relationship that it seems to be that he can fool her like that. Like, mm-hmm. that she doesn't know that he can't really fucking cook.
Right. And like, he just, it's funny because at first, like, from Stacy's perspective, while I had my qualms with him, by and large, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, you know, he's being really like patient and chill in this. And like, mm-hmm. you know, yeah, there's definitely some boundaries, but this is just people who don't know how to have threesomes having a threesome.
Yeah.
Was what I took it at first. And then it's like, no, he's manipulative and he's dishonest. He's like, we find out that like he's fucked Lorraine
a few times since
he met and started dating Stacy.
Yes. Like we said, the timeline is quite unclear. It's quite unclear what the overlap of that is, but there is overlap.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely cheating. I do think they probably had a conversation about monogamy.
Right.
And so monogamy is expected unless they're having said threesome. But she realizes from her, like, certain things that she's just like, oh, they're very familiar. Like, oh, mm-hmm. I can tell that they know each other, you know, that they've been taught. Like
so they've known each other since like high school, but they didn't date in high school.
No, she liked him in high school. He didn't pay her any mind. He was into Asian women in high school, as she says.
Filipino girls in particular. But she dated a white guy from sophomore through senior year.
Mm-hmm. So, their backstories are interesting. She has a 16-year-old daughter. And at the dinner, that's still from Stacy's point of view, the salmon dinner, she's like, yeah, I have a 16-year-old. She lives with her dad now. So like, I'm basically unencumbered. And, you know, she basically like hints that, about state, well, not hints. Stacy's like, I want kids, but I don't have them yet. Mm-hmm. And it's like, comes out that Justin does not want kids. And it's like she's like, wait, what? He doesn't want kids? He never told me that. And it's like, I feel like we're slowly realizing how good for each other Lorraine and Justin are, and mm-hmm. how like incompatible Stacy and Justin are through the like interactions of the threesome. And I mean, I feel like that's the point, but like he was not being honest with her about the things that he really wanted. And mm-hmm. I think it's easy for him to be honest with Lorraine. And he's just like chatting with her, kind of like Stacy's not even there. he's like turned to her the whole time and like they're laughing with each other and like Stacy's to his right. So he's able to completely turn and like box her out, sort of.
Mm-hmm. And we get him buying the mushrooms. The mushrooms were very intentional. His friend is like, yeah, man, welcome to the threesome club.
Yeah. Yep.
And we tells learned him that the last time he did mushrooms, he had anxiety about it.
Yes. And he had a bad trip. And he's like, Mushroom Man is like, you just got to relax. You know, if you have a bad, you got to get out of your head. You don't want to have a bad trip. Like, you make the trip, basically.
Having
your mindset.
a bad trip. I have always said that I would not wish it on my worst enemy, but I was kind of fine with Justin having a bad trip.
For me, a bad trip was like just feeling like I was in a glass case of emotion.
Oh, yeah, no, I was like paralyzed in my bed to the sounds of the very rough neighborhood that I lived in, where like the way that my block was set up, my bedroom was on like the right side of the house. So there's a house mm-hmm. next door to us, but there's this yard in between. And at the like where our backyards would have started, there was a house. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. it created this like whatever sciencey term where like the noise got amplified.
Yeah.
Right outside my bedroom window. I'm mm-hmm. lying in my bed. I cannot move. And I've just got this like cacophony of like cars and horns and squealing brakes and the occasional gunshot and arguments and shit. I was living in a really bad neighborhood at the time. Worst.
Yeah, that sounds terrible, Caroline.
Yeah, no, it was really bad. And it did not get better from there.
Yeah, I mean, Justin's his bad trip is not quite that bad.
Yeah, his is just his like, I've lost control and my dick doesn't work. But then Tony gives him some dick Reiki and he's fine.
Tony is like the most supportive partner in a world full of Justin's. Be a Tony. No, I don't know.
No, Tony's weird.
He's very weird. He's giving like, I would lay down my life for this woman who probably doesn't deserve it.
Follower.
Who probably doesn't deserve it. You are a queen. We are here to serve you. Like, maybe don't go that far. I think that I really want to look into Reiki after this movie.
No, Reiki's cool. Reiki's cool.
It's not. Can it heal dick? You know,
I mean, I've never gotten dick Reiki dick personally.
I'm sorry, dick Reiki. I just really want to know. I actually want to know. Okay, so it's hinted. What else do we learn in Justin's perspective? Because I really want to jump into Lorraine's. Like, that's where all the
Lorraine's perspective is where everything kind of comes together.
Yeah.
I mean, not a lot. We learned that Justin's got his own vulnerabilities, and we kind of feel mm-hmm. for that. I felt mm-hmm. for Justin more by the end of his POV than I did at the beginning.
Yeah.
Don't think that Justin's a bad dude.
I think he's just not being honest with himself, which can lead you. I don't think he's a good dude. I just think he's not being honest with himself. I think that's what, like, when he does do things that are shitty, it's because he is not being honest with himself and what he really wants. He really wants somebody like Lorraine, who's a freak. Mm-hmm. He wishes he wants someone like Stacy, but he doesn't.
Right.
If he could find a Stacy that was also a freak. Which I think is the movie's, like, the movie is telling us that that is Lorraine, which I don't think.
No, I don't think the movie's telling us that. Lorraine is not a Stacy that is a freak. He is never going to have the relationship with Lorraine that he has with Stacy that's, like, fun and cutesy and, like, goes apple picking together and whatever.
Do they
bullshit.
Go apple picking?
They don't show it, but they, like, that they tickle fight implies. No, I don't think they say it.
Oh, I'm okay. just I was saying like, do
that
they
tickle
say it?
Fight
okay.
implies that they are the couple that does shit, like goes apple making.
Well, I think like not
or
even
apple
that,
picking
well,
and goes to like the Pioneer Village on a Saturday afternoon.
I think it's hinted that like because they do have some sort of like, I mean, it's a different kind of relationship, but they have a playfulness about them. It's just a sexual playfulness.
Right, it's very different. It's not, and that's what I'm not saying one is better than the other, but I'm saying that what he can get relationship wise with Stacy is not something that Lorraine will ever provide. And that's fine.
Well, that actually causes, I think that like to your point, that is what causes I think that's what breaks Lorraine's part is her insecurity about her ability to actually be
that sort of... No, it's before that. She's still being cocky. And, like, their perspective starts... They're, like, on the floor together. Or her perspective. Her perspective starts right after Tony. She says, after Justin says, you're my bitch.
That's my, you think that's your man and that's my man or whatever.
Yeah.
No, I mean her insecurity. Like she's, because there's a shift from her cockiness to her going into the bathroom and like having a breakdown.
Right.
And
when
being,
they're
like,
having their little tickle fight.
Their tickle fight, and she sees her in a dress. I think that's maybe like what Lorraine's like insecurity is that she's not wife material.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, there is a like a wholesomeness that like the image of wife material has. Like sometimes, like a lot of people think to be wife material, you can't be a freak. You can't like fuck a dude backwards. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that that's fair. I think that that's
no,
a very small box. You can be a freak. You can be whatever. And I think, I mean, it also boils down to that just wasn't the guy for her, for Stacey, because he really wasn't
okay with
the,
because she's a lesbian.
Because she's a lesbian, and she, and he really wasn't okay with the things that he said he was okay with. He really wanted the head and didn't care to be jacked off, because for him that was in, like, he wants head.
Right.
Like he wants his, he wants to have like, you know, penetrative sex, and then he wants his head. So that's never going to be a fulfilling relationship for him either. And Stacey's not being fulfilled because she's not being honest with herself that she doesn't want to suck dick.
Right. Right. And I do think it's interesting. Like she's definitely, you know, we'll get to it at the end, but like she is freakier at the end of this night. She has found her freaky side. It's just not as freaky as Justin and Lorraine's side.
No. It's funny because, like, the bear... Yeah, I'm excited to talk about that part. But I think the shift... Because the shift to Lorraine's POV is, like, more innocuous. I feel like it is... Like, they're obviously on the couch, but I don't remember the conversation exactly... That leads her to be like, you think he's your man, but he's
they're
my
man.
They're
not on the couch. They're on the floor.
But she's like, she's propped up, which makes me think.
Mm-hmm.
Is she propped up near the couch? Because it looked like she's higher up.
Yeah, it's right after she tells Stacey the thing about, like, if you want to fall in love, what I've learned is if you want to fall in love, the first thing you need to do is fall in love with healing yourself, or whatever her quote is.
And we see
that happen from Stacey's perspective too, but like that's where Lorraine's perspective starts.
Mm-hmm.
And like right from there, she's like, her internal monologue is like, Justin isn't her man and she's boring as fuck. I don't see what he sees
in
her besides
stories
those big
are
ass
boring
teeth.
As fuck. Yeah. Yes.
Which, yes. Shut up. She is beautiful.
She's beautiful. Oh, because isn't she like laying in her lap or something? Like they do
they're
a lot
being
of
very like
they're being very touch, and it's it makes you ship it. It makes you ship it. Like like, and I think that's one of like, oh, you thought that they were getting there because
like, she tells her we should be sisters, and Lorraine's
yes.
like
she's like we are. Yeah.
It's just all of a sudden
and
Lorraine's
her
POV
smile
is like
drops.
So fucking mean.
It's really mean.
It's unwarrantedly mean. But then we learn that Lorraine is a little unhinged and a little Joe Goldberg.
She is.
She'd probably be better at it than Joe Goldberg. Like if she wanted to murder people.
Yeah. She kept it up for a year, basically. She stalked him for a year.
Yeah. She happened to see him on his run one day.
And then just literally started stalking him.
Until
she decided to insert herself into his life.
Like, run into him.
Accident. Yeah, it's very, like, but, like, I think it's annoying. It's like, oh, man, I'm mad that the movie took this turn because, like, the competitiveness that Lorraine seems to be giving out, it could be contained to Stacey's head.
Right.
Like, it could all just be Stacey's insecurity.
Right.
And not really, oh, because Lorraine can also come off like, oh, aloof and just a free spirit and just like it's trying just like, to feel out the situation and get her involved and
exactly,
everything.
Exactly. And it's just like,
I wish it was that.
Women being shitty to other women about a guy is just a story that I've
it's
seen
just
enough
so many
times.
Like, I wish that they would have just fucked. And, like, Justin would have realized that, like, his dick had no you know, value in this situation.
Yeah.
And they didn't care for it. You can watch, probably. I don't think that they would have been upset with that. But like,
right, we are in your home. So like,
so I guess it's fine. You cooked us a nice salmon dinner.
Even though you fucked up and used oregano.
He did fuck up and use oregano, which is probably a choice that she's like, oh, his defense, I hope you didn't fuck up your shit. She's like, I hope you didn't fuck up your shit. Yeah, her video was funny. But he also throws up that salmon dinner because
Stacey's like, mushrooms. I heard,
yes, yeah, Stacey's like, I heard it could give some people diarrhea. And he's like, I don't have diarrhea. You're killing the mood.
Right.
Yeah. It's a super bummer to have it confirmed that, like, no, the competition is not in Stacey's head. She really wants, like stank ass Justin over beautiful Stacey.
Right. I was like, now I'm kind of worried Stacey might die.
Yeah.
Cause it's like she talks about how like she ran into Justin a year ago and then spent like a year obsessing over it. And we see her having the most depressing sex ever, where it's like her boyfriend, not her fiance, her boyfriend's fucking her from behind as she's just like staring off dead-eyed, and then her fiance comes in to join and she's just like and pushes him away. She alienates her daughter, the boyfriend leaves, like, whatever.
Yeah, like, and he also, I think it's implied, and I mean this is a very inconsequential detail that I noticed, but I think it's implied that the husband was also involved with the boyfriend, because he looked just very upset when he left.
And, well, like, disappointed. We also see in that her. They're like bros.
Yes, that they hang out, right.
And so it might even out. Just be that like the boyfriend becomes the husband's the best thing. Friend. I'm fine with it being the other thing too. There's a lot of ways to have a polyamorous relationship.
There are. It just seemed like she was way into that relationship until she saw Justin,
and then nothing was good else enough. Mattered. Nothing was good enough. And then she like orchestrates this thing. And I'm pretty sure that Tony was in on it from the get.
Unfortunately, I think he was. That's why she says something like, oh, when, you know, they, it is revealed in her POV because we saw them fucking prior, but we didn't really know that. Other than the first time they fucked, they really had a conversation, because he does walk in on them just like post-coital. And he's like, hey, man, can I get you guys some, you know, beverages? Some, what does he say? Some Skittles or some shit?
Oh, God, what does he say? Because it was cute.
Yeah, it was some kind of candy, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. It was cute. Tony was cute. We like him. But then,
was,
like,
he was very accommodating.
They have,
but, like, it's,
Justin they have stay a- for dinner.
Yeah, it's, and I mean, he's like, yeah, we, you know, some people are down for two. We actually prefer three, and, you know,
some
and
people
she's,
call it thruples.
Thruples, yeah. And she's really upset with him because she's like,
you're going to scare
you're
him
gonna
off.
Fuck this up with for me. Like, you can't do that. And they do find out that Justin has a girlfriend at dinner also, which it seems like Lorraine didn't know.
Some stalker she is. Maybe she's not Joe Goldberg status.
It's not good. She is not a good stalker. She just likes to watch him run.
I mean, I wouldn't mind watching him run.
He looks like he has good form and is probably entertaining to watch run lengths. But
so we learned that, like, it's all kind of an order. Like, obviously she didn't get Justin to ask Stacey. Obviously, like, or maybe it's not obvious. Like, maybe Lorraine manipulated the whole thing.
I think Lorraine seems so calculated that I wouldn't not buy that, you know? But she would have to anticipate that. She would have to plant the seeds.
Well, I mean, we know she knows that Stacey is boring in bed because that's why Justin is fucking her.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Justin has flat out said, like, she's a boring lay probably more than once.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see Lorraine from that planting the seeds of like saying something that's going to get Justin to then be like, man, I wish you could teach her how to sling that pussy.
Yeah. That also sounds like something that she would say and not him. And I like that this movie makes us realize that there must be conversations that these characters are having that are not on camera. I think that that's a good movie, that they're able to make these characters feel like they're talking without us being a witness to it.
Right. It definitely doesn't overdo it on the exposition, I feel like. Is impressive for a movie that's working with three internal monologues.
Correct. It's very strategic about what we get. Like, we're getting, we're always working on this puzzle, and there's never any pieces of information that we don't need. You know, like, I wouldn't say there's any extraneous detail, honestly.
And it really, like, it did kind of keep you, like, you come out, so they have the threesome. And it's good at points, and it's awkward at points, and you're kind of jumping everybody's perspective.
Yeah, you get all their thoughts.
At one point, Lorraine just flat out pushes Stacy off the bed.
She does.
But Stacy gets back in there.
Oh, can we talk about how they're not on a bed, Caroline? They're on a couch.
Oh, they are on a couch.
Didn't they move it? Like, it leads me to think that they did not have a bed available. Because what grown-ass people, unless this is a sofa bed.
I guess because it started on the couch. I don't know.
But then they go to just fuck on the floor later. Was there no, like, sponge? Was there no, like, you know, little big piece of, like, something you could just throw out for the floor? No floor cushion?
No, we're just going to fuck on the floor like animals.
We're just going to fuck on the floor. Yeah. But they're fucking on the couch. So, yes, she gets pushed off the couch. Can we point out how the threesome starts? Stacy is laying down and Justin is down eating her pussy, and Lorraine is up there with Stacy's head in her lap, like licking her breasts, I guess, sucking on her nipples. And she looks down and she sees Justin eating her out, and she's like, oh, I see how he licks her so slow. I want some of that. And now he's thinking, like, you like the way I lick it? There's more coming for you too, girl. Like, it's...
Yeah, we're jumping around from so many different perspectives. Yeah, and then so then he goes from eating Stacy out to making out with Lorraine. Like, they're basically like an Eiffel Tower over Stacy making out.
Then
Lorraine gets his dick out. Mm-hmm. And then Stacy's like, nope, go get your man. And jumps back in there. So then she's got her legs, like, up on his shoulders, and he's fucking her.
Yeah.
And then Lorraine's bitch ass, this is evil.
It is.
Lorraine's bitch ass, like, leans over, like, she's, you know.
And starts
biting the shit out of Stacy's clit. And it's like, dude, you gotta say something.
She's like, she's burning this shit. Like, she's hurting me.
Ruin the mood, though.
The pain. Take the pain. Like, bitch, no. You are putting, like,
You are 30 or 40
pussy.
Years old. You do not need this.
No, exactly. Like, please do not let anybody improperly munch on your clit.
Right.
You deserve better. Okay? I am, and she, as a woman, she should know that no one wants that. It should never be assaulted in that manner. Okay?
She knows that she doesn't want it. She's trying to win Justin.
She's trying to dry
Stacey's
up her pussy.
Game up.
She's trying to dry up her shit like the fucking
And then she's
desert.
Like getting jealous, and she's like, you gets Justin to fuck her, and then is sucking Justin's dick, and Andrea's like, damn it, I gotta get in here. So
it's
Andrea,
like,
goes and, like, tries to kiss
break.
Her.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, and, like, pushes her head down, and she's just staring at the balls, which are glowing. We see the reflection of the glow on her face.
Yes. And then we just get
her
POV.
She's so wide-eyed in that. God, she's so beautiful
so
in this movie.
She's
I loved her.
She literally gets shoved into the balls, and then she just starts like sucking the balls, and he's like, "Oh, Stacy, on them balls."
And then she starts sucking that dick, and she's doing a good job.
He's like, "Ooh, you a freak." She's like, "Really?"
And she's like, "Come in my mouth."
He's like, "What's that? Come in my mouth."
Yeah, she is, and like, she, possessed.
Like, she's like, just gets the
think Manny's. Yes. Can you do it again?
Wait. Please.
But it is that level of like urgency and desperation.
Like, yo, it's funny. But then she can't, like, she's like,
she's not gonna swallow.
And she's like, Lorraine's like, "Don't waste it." And she gets down there and like
sucks him dry.
Sucks. She's like, she's not even stopping.
He's like, "I'm not even coming anymore." Like,
he's like, "Oh,
he's like, she's a real freak." Which, like, I'm sorry, sucking you dry is all it takes for her to be
sucking you dry, a real freak,
and not spitting. Like,
okay.
But then it does quickly progress. So they're like,
it truly does, because like Stacy gets a little glob of cum, and she's like, she is like, "I just came," because she rode, like, the dick.
That
and
was fun, guys.
She was right. She was riding the dick, and that is what like possessed her to like, because Lorraine's like, this is too much talking, because, you know, he's like, "The dick is good, but you sucking the dick good." So he's like, "Suck it." And she climbs onto his face. So she's, Stacy's on the other end riding him, and Stacy comes very hard. And she's like, "So, you know, all that cum talk," gets her glob of cum. And she's like,
"Come in my mouth.
Please." And so she just bounces on she just bounces on out to the bathroom, and
yeah, she's like, "That was like, great, you just guys. Did
that, bitch. Now you told him that you are that bitch." And I'm like, "Did you though? Did you?"
I mean, she did though.
She did in her
way. She exceeded expectations, I feel like.
She did. She totally did. I think it's just like, I was very much like, this is a good, like, I was not disappointed in the threesome scenes. They were, the way they were shot were funny, but I especially loved her, like, how everybody goes and taps into the bathroom and comes out, and it's completely, some completely difference going on. But she's like, "Maybe we could get some three-way cuddling going on. I've never done that before."
Yeah, she's like all excited to, like, she thinks they've all had this like beautiful experience. She's basically, she's fallen in love with the idea of a throuple, and the throuple is her and Lorraine and Justin. And I cannot for the life of me keep these people's names in my head, and I feel really bad about that.
No, I feel the same. I'm glad that you're for once struggling with this. No, literally, she does say to Justin, like, "Can we move in? Can, like, I want her to move in with us." Like, she really does feel that synergy, which I think is sad because Lorraine's a bitch. But
and then she comes out, and they are like, they are still, she's fucking, they're like sitting on the floor fucking,
and oh, she's like paddling his ass, calling him,
herself mommy, and then they're like sitting on the floor
golden
fucking
showers.
And she's making him, like, she's slapping him in the face and making him call her a queen, and then she's like, "Spit in my fucking mouth."
Spits, like, in her mouth, and then she pisses
and
on.
She pisses on.
She's
him.
Like, "You want me to see
He's
me
squirt? Sucking her toes.
You want to see me squirt?"
Squirts all over his face, and
she's like, "I have a feeling that they're very that they've done this before."
And Stace, but they haven't.
Well, that's, she says something like that though. She's like, "Oh,
yeah,
they,
no,
you
I know, but it's funny because like
they haven't.
No, they've just
that like the floodgates have just
he's
opened.
Found
the
this thing
floodgates.
That he's always been looking for." Where
yeah,
she's
so now
she's
like,
a fucking freak.
"Will you do this? Will you do this?" Mm-hmm. And then she's just pissing on his chest. The way that she's like,
he's probably even asking. She's probably taking the lead.
She's probably just doing it, and he's just taking it. But like, she just slips on her shirt and she gets dressed, and she's like, "They're gonna stink in the morning."
And then Dante video calls her. He's been calling and trying to get in touch with her this whole time.
Which, to be fair, when she answers, he looked good. He
and
looked right for a,
like,
booty call.
The
but she's
lighting,
like, no.
Is good and everything. He put thought
that
into
the lighting
this
is good.
Call. And he's like, "I'm by your house." And she's like, "Boy, please. I just had a threesome." And then she turns the camera so that
he's
he can
like,
see
the
them
fuck?
Fucking. And she's like, "Bye." Which,
like,
I love
the fuck
that
is
moment
going
for
on?
Her. And then did you? I wrote down what she said leaving. Did you write it down?
I did not write it down. I know the gist of it, but
okay.
Go ahead.
I had to write it down because the whole thing was beautiful. So she gets dressed and whatever. They're still just like fucking all sorts of weird. And she's like, hey, and they don't answer. And she's like very, very loud, aggressive. Hey.
Hey.
And she's just like, I'm leaving. And I had a great time tonight. But I just want you guys to know that I've been watching you for the last 20 minutes.
And I think
and
you
it's
need
clear that your souls ain't right.
Your souls ain't right.
I think you need Jesus.
Yeah, I think you need, thank you.
But if you ever want to do this again, call me. Because a bitch came so hard, my asshole almost fell out. Good night. And then she goes to leave and stops to tell him that she's also quitting her job to start her design company. Because that's the thing we've learned is she's unfulfilled in her work.
Yes.
But then she comes back in and she's like, I'm not quitting my job. That's insane. Baby steps. I need the money.
I need that money.
I need that money. But like, she's like, you know, this was great. I'm leaving. I'm quitting my job. Bye. And
did she say like that's growth or something?
Yeah, and what is
progress?
Fucking...
She's like, a little bit, any progress is good progress or something.
Lorraine's
like
blessings, bye, queen. And whatever. She's... Like, everybody ends on really good terms. Like, as haphazard as this three-way was, like, mm-hmm. I feel like everybody got
what
they
came
needed,
for.
Not what they were looking for, necessarily.
But what they needed.
What they needed.
Wait, you can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want, but if you try sometimes, you just might find
you get what you need. Love that.
Mm-hmm,
Big Chill.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Have you ever seen The Big Chill?
I have. It's been many moons.
It's one of my favorite movies. But
I'd
also,
be down
I
to
love
watch
this
that
movie.
With you.
And
I'd
then
be down
I
to
love
watch that with you. Yeah, this was great.
Justin is like, we see Justin ask fucking Lorraine. He's like, can I move in with you and Tony?
Can you pay utilities?
So like, oh, like literally everybody got what they wanted. Tony gets a new boyfriend that he likes.
Yes.
Lorraine gets Justin. Justin gets a freaky ass lifestyle, which is apparently what he wanted.
Apparently what he wanted,
Stacey fucking learned a lot about herself and like opened up and like we get her like driving away calling Ebony to be like, I did it.
She's freaking out like, oh my God.
I really liked this movie. Like, was it brilliant? No.
No,
but
it wasn't
well written,
but,
and it was good.
Yeah, for what it set out to do, I actually think it told this concept very well. Mm-hmm. I think this is a great way to tell a story about a threesome, because all of these, you start with Stacey, and then you truly do want to know what's going on with Justin and Lorraine.
Mm-hmm.
The script creates enough mystery around both of their characters that you want to know what's really going on.
And I feel like everybody is sympathetic to a degree, even crazy ass Lorraine.
Lorraine has a moment, and I mean, like, we touched on it, but she has the moment where she sees them, like, you know, canoodling and like tickling each other and laughing, and she has a flash of Stacey in a wedding dress, and she's like, you know, she goes into the bathroom and she's like, Tony, I need you to come get me. Mm-hmm. And he's like, he's the one who has to tell her like, no, like you want this. I know you do. You go get it.
Right.
Like, but she is very much like,
what a fucking freak you are.
Show him. Yeah. The woman I know you can be, which is AKA the freak.
I don't think there's anything that woman is like not into.
Right.
Her kink is kink.
Her kink is kink. And she's like renewed in the fact that she's fucked him 10 ways to Sunday. And all she's got to do is go back in there and show him how much of a freak that she still can be. He doesn't even know what he's got in store for him. And she goes in with renewed, like, but she's got, you know, she definitely has that vulnerability. She's got to wipe off her tears. And she's like, I might not be good enough for this situation.
Right.
And she's got to actually humble herself. And then that's why I think she is sympathetic, because she does humble herself and be like, okay, I am not Stacey.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm me. I'm Lorraine.
But I am Lorraine. Yeah, I know. I came out
something.
Like, I was happy that everybody got a happy ending.
Yes. And I wouldn't have wanted Stacey to end up with, I wouldn't have wanted her to do that booty call. I wouldn't have wanted her to be sad about Justin and Lorraine, because honestly, I think she was just realizing that she didn't really care that much.
Yeah. No, I think,
like, seeing them fucking, she was just like, damn, y'all are kind of perfect for each other. Like, y'all kind of, like, even, like, with the moment when she's like, fuck her, baby. Fuck her, Justin.
Right, which was like, I'm like, come on, Andrea, I know you can cheerlead better than that.
Right? I know you've got a better cheerleader in you than that, Andrea. It was so fucking That's good, That's what though. We call
acting.
Actor. A professional actor. No, she had a lot of range. She had a lot of stuff to do in this movie. I think this is one of the better, like, roles that we've covered for Degrassi alone.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, this is, like,
it's the most fleshed this out been released by a long shot.
I feel like this is not even, like, I feel like this is better quality than most of the Netflix movies that I've seen recently.
I mean, it's a Hulu, like, movie, so it's the same level of...
It is the same level, but I think this could probably have been, you know, maybe not now, but this probably could have been released in the movie theaters back when things like Just My Luck and, like, rom-com type vibes put in the movies. Possibly. Or wait, no, what's that? Wedding Crashers? Back when, like, stuff like that. No, but that's the
thing, is it's a two female sexuality centered comedy to have thrived during that point in time.
Well, maybe now then, because we love it now.
Right. But, like, no, I thought it was thoroughly enjoyable. I would watch it again and I would enjoy watching it again. And
I think S would watch it. I think she would enjoy it. I'm actually possibly going to make her watch it, because I think there are things that I could gain insight into from watching it a second time. Just because it's like, you know what you know, and now you can watch it knowing all of that.
Right. Plus, I'm happy to give my girl, Andrea Lewis, as many streaming residuals as I can. As many streams
as possible. This was so good, guys.
I feel like I've always felt like I knew Andrea Lewis could act, but, like, we never really got a chance to see her act. Because, like, even in Cadet Kelly, like, she's memorable, but she's still very, like...
pedestrian.
Well, she's very sidekicky, and she's very, like, you know, in the episode where she and Ellie both have the crush on Marco, and she's like, Detective Hazel is on the case.
Yeah, not for long. Yeah, she's very... Yeah, that's what her
Cadet Kelly character gives me.
Correct. She is very... And, I mean, that's what she's... It's about... This story is about Stacy. It's about her character. Mm-hmm. And all of the other characters cannot exist without her... setting up that POV, because right. We care about these characters because they are in relation to Stacy.
Mm-hmm.
And we come to care about Stacy rather quickly, because I think Andrew is really endearing, but it's also written very well.
Yeah, no, she's charming. The story is engaging, and even though it's predictable at points,
yeah,
like, I feel like it's 2024, it's impossible to not be predictable at all.
I feel like fooling people is quite hard,
unless it's, like, just really bad, like, unless it's Pretty Little Liars fucking I'm just gonna just abandon gonna this storyline and give you this thing that makes no sense, like,
right, this happened because I said so,
way and to I'm be not completely 100% not predictable at this point, I feel like. Because films have, you know, and part of it is, like, just literary devices, like foreshadowing and what have you. I know there are other ones, but that's the big one that's coming to mind right now.
That is the big one. And I have forgotten the other literary devices.
But there are...
There's a cat moaning in the alley nearby.
That's not a literary device. Or maybe it is, because maybe it's symbolism.
Because
that's another literary device.
There you go.
And the cat moaning is symbolism... For that Lorraine.
Pussy. Oh.
And the thing deep within her that is unfulfilled. Until she finds Justin again.
Poetic.
It is poetic.
I found this very enjoyable. Totally would watch it again. Trying to think if there's any, like, highlights that I wanted to talk about that I didn't talk about, but I feel like most of it was Most of it we talked about. The sex was very good. Oh, we talked touched on the style a little bit. Like, the production was very good. I feel like I Shazammed a couple songs. Like, the songs they played were very good.
Yeah, no, it was not, like, the made-for-TV quality that we have grown accustomed to at all. It was union. It was a union job.
It was a union job. Like, the hair, both Andrea, Andrea's character, Stacy, and I, you know, forgive me, I there's obviously an actress that Lorraine is tied to, but Brittany Hall. Brittany Hall's hair was also cute. I liked it. Mm-hmm. It fit her. And I think it fit her character quite well. Gorgeous.
And very, and I was like, just like, different types.
Types of, yes. I like how when she first meets Lorraine, she's like, okay, we have similar complexions. She has natural hair, you know, like, kind of like, I get that sort of thing. Like, okay, this is the person that my man is bringing in to have sex with us. Like, she's not somebody that doesn't look like similar to me. Like, we look similar. Mm-hmm. We're not the same type of woman, but we have similar.
Yeah, like those attributes, you know, are the same. But like, Lorraine is tall. Lorraine is skinny with a big ass.
And she's clearly very sexually confident. She's mm-hmm. wearing this dress that's see-through. You can see her nipples.
And whereas Stacy is, one, way more reserved in her fashion. She's wearing a, like, off – one of those, like, what is scrunchy. It called? Like, a Bardot top, I think, where, like, it's kind of stretchy and goes around the shoulders.
Mm-hmm. And, like, yeah.
And, like, just some jeans. She's not wearing, like, super accessible three-way clothes.
She is not.
And still, she's, they find, like, a way. Shorter. She's
mm-hmm. – She's got these cute little white sandals on.
Mm-hmm.
These little, like, square.
She's very braided cute white sandals. Still. Andrea is, she is still very cute.
Yes. I think that, I mean, she her character.
And she's
is
also beautiful and sexy. And,
yes.
Like, if anything, I would say that, like, the cute stuff is what the most feels like I'm watching somebody act. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And not that mm-hmm. she doesn't still pull it off, but it's the least convincing. Like,
mm-hmm. like someone who's like, when she starts actually going through the sex scenes and stuff, like, it feels more, like, not less of an act, but more comfortable.
Yeah.
Like, there's sort of a rhythm that starts to settle in during. And I think that it's very impressive, the sex scenes.
Mm-hmm.
They were captured in a way that were at times very comedic. There was some sensual times, but, like, I feel like it was all, it didn't feel so coordinated that I'm like, okay, this is clearly people being orchestrated on how to have sex. Like, this could be an actual threesome, how it went down. It was not giving softcore porn where they're literally just rubbing genitals. Like, it looked like they were actually having some level of intimacy.
Yeah, it was well choreographed. It was well, care went into this movie. And Care some money went into this movie, and talent mm-hmm. went into this movie.
The lighting was beautiful the lighting whole was time.
Beautiful. The
because they have this, like, neon sort of, like flashing bulb or something when they start dancing. So it's like different colors that all complement, you know, because these are three black actors, and their skin colors pop. Like, mm-hmm. there's never any point where it's like, oh, this is dark. Oh, this is whatever. Like, they look beautiful the whole time.
Yeah, I had glare coming in for one of the darker scenes, and I could mm-hmm. still tell what was going on. Like, it definitely, mm-hmm. it wasn't good lighting anymore because I had glare coming in from, like, the window onto my TV screen and, like, you know.
Yeah.
But it was still, like, I could see who was who.
Yep. It was definitely well lit, definitely great set dressing and set design. And it felt very like these could be three real people.
Mm-hmm.
This could be a scenario like that we're seeing. It didn't feel like a documentary, obviously, but it kind of gave me one act play vibes.
Yeah.
It gave me one act play vibes.
Mm-hmm.
In the best way, you know, not in a knock, you know, like this is, it's very solid, like one setting, even though you do have flashbacks, which I think could be done easily on stage.
Very, very different. But mm-hmm. like, have you ever seen the movie or the play Closer? The movie's got like Natalie Portman and Julia Roberts, and then it's Clive Owen and Jude Law. It's there's a degree to which, I mean, it's a very, very different movie that I haven't seen in a long time, but like the style of it a little bit, I can see it having been like a very loose inspiration.
Gotcha. Okay, I'll look that up actually closer.
Yeah, it's it's a good time. Okay, so yeah, like, dude, what do you so I feel like let's go on a scale of 1 to 10 like our IMDb reviewers do. And I want to point out too that the reviews on IMDb for this movie, there are only 6 user reviews because it's not a very old movie. Like, it was made in 2022, and it also, I mean, this is the first I've heard of it because Andrea Lewis happened to, like, I saw a thread post. It's got 6 reviews, 1 1-star review, and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 10-star reviews.
Love
which it. The last one I'm looking at says great story, great storytelling, 100 out of 10 stars.
Oh.
So like
yeah. So people really love this movie. And I don't think that our ratings are gonna be super far off.
No,
from that.
I mean, I think I'd probably give it like an 8.5.
I was thinking 8.5, yes. I was either, you know, I was back and forth between a 9 or an 8 because my issues with it are very minor.
I love, too, that literally a week ago we were recording Seabeast and giving it a scale of 1 to 5.
Yeah, we're like, we're just
so
gonna...
for what it's worth, the ratings don't matter. But no, this was like an 8.5. I would even give it like an 8.7. Is that a thing?
I mean, it is on the Richter scale, I think.
I think it could have used a little bit more, but I also don't know what the little more is that it needed. I think the dialogue felt unnatural in some places.
The dialogue did feel unnatural in some places. It didn't borderline on like, okay, I don't believe these. Like, sometimes it's like, okay, someone wouldn't say that, but not too many times.
Yeah.
Like, enough that like maybe there's 2 to 3 times and you could make a slight drinking game out of that, but you need other things in that drinking game.
A cute moment that we didn't touch on is, so when we're in Justin's perspective, he's tutoring a student and Stacy walks by on her way into the bookstore. And he's like, yo, student, I got to bail for a minute. And the student's like, fuck you, dude, because, like, I'm paying you. And he goes, you know what your name means in Egyptian? The kid's name is Shay, I think. He's like, Shay is the god of fate. And she's like, oh, okay, dude. And he's like, I asked for us to meet at noon, and you said 1 because you needed to blah, blah, blah. And I asked to meet at the library, and you insisted we meet at the barbershop so you could get your hair cut, too. And the woman of my dreams just walked by while I'm here where I shouldn't be because of you. And the kid's like, yeah, no, go talk to her.
It is cute. That's a
it
cute
was
scene.
Cuter in the way they did it.
Well, no, I mean, I think your recap of it was cute enough.
But it was like...
They have a, it's right, like that moment, like they, and there's a part when Lorraine like recites
a poem,
the poem that Justin wrote in high school from memory.
Justin,
she's kind of creepy, but you know.
Justin is like, I think ultimately like kind of a sensitive guy. And I almost feel like a Lorraine and Tony situation might... I kind of do. I feel like a Lorraine and Tony situation is probably exactly what Justin needs. I feel like he's going to get, like, some nurturing there that he has been lacking.
Yes.
You know, and it's not like it's really implied that he has, like, a bad relationship with his dad or anything. But Dick Rakey Tony, like, seems to me to be a good father figure for him at this stage in his life.
It's Dick Reiki Tony.
Especially
for me.
If he's going to embrace his weird freakiness. Like,
yeah.
But no, I think it was a solid movie. This was a good one. Thank you, Andrea Lewis. It was. You absolutely
yes, for blessing us.
Goddess.
For blessing us with this. Yeah, I had a lot of fun, and this was a very quality film. I think this is the most quality film that we have covered.
Mm-hmm. This is like somebody who went to at least a like mid-range film school, I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah. I enjoyed it. I laughed. I was upset. I was happy.
I connected with all of the characters. I cared about them to varying degrees. I disliked two of them. And I found Stacy to be frustrating. Like, no, it was well written. The characters were complex. Without showing us that much, like, we got an idea of who these people are. No, it was a good movie. It was thoroughly enjoyable. It was honestly kind of hot at parts.
It was kind of hot at parts. Literally, I was like feeling it.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, 8.5 to 10 out of 10 stars.
Absolutely. I concur. We concur. We are in agreement. And, I think that that concludes the 11th meeting of the Degrassi Film Club.
I concur.
All right, adjourned. Peace.
That was aggressive.
We'd like to take a moment to thank our Patreon subscribers. Tay.
Evie Pacini.
Miranda Bickers.
And Octavia Faith.
And a special thanks to our Titty Snake producers.
Alika Fenderson.
Corey Newton.
Tawny Marie.
And Brandy Tucker.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Ew, I hate how I said thank you. Thank you.
If you'd like to further support our show, you can find us on TikTok and Facebook as Your Mom's Padcast. We also have a Facebook group of the same name. And you can find us on Instagram at YMPadcast. Your Mom's Padcast is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscriptions and reviews are another great free way to support us. However, if you're interested in supporting us in not free ways, we have a lot of great bonus content on our Patreon, and some great merch at our shop, which can be found at your-moms-padcast-shop.forthwall.com. And remember, that's Padcast, P-A-H-D-C-A-S-T. Thank you.